On America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned.
Your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos. Today on our show, we're going to talk about political persecution in America, January 6th and more. Some deeper points about the Paxton impeachment. That's the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Biden's latest Ministry of Truth tactic, the GDI. And if we have time and get to it, taxpayer-funded hate right in New York City. These are all stories that kind of tie together with a bigger theme I want to talk about today, which is what the role is of the genuine patriot. You know, when people look back at America, 100 years from now, look back at America and they say, you know, well, what was going on and who fought for what was right? It's really easy to latch on to a candidate or elected official, and they do need candidates, elected officials, they need our help, they need support from people who agree with them. But the biggest goal of a real patriot, someone actually trying to hold on to the idea of America, people who recognize America's unique and extraordinary greatness, is to dig in and defend the idea of America itself and the entire structure of our governance, our society, our culture, everything that gives America identity and meaning. So in this first five, I had talk about political persecution in America on January 6th. If you were watching my show, I think it was last, I believe it was Tuesday, last Tuesday, May 23rd, I had a gentleman join me on the show named John Strand. On Monday of last week, I had Dr. Simone Gold join me. And you will likely know she's a person who had she created America's Frontline Doctors. She spoke up about COVID and the real concerns that Americans should have about concerning COVID. She also went to Washington on January 6th, and she was ended up literally walking in the Capitol, walking back out. No violence, no yelling, no just nothing bad at all. In fact, walking in and out of the Capitol that millions of Americans have done and, you know, was prosecuted on the January 6th persecution feeding frenzy that's still going on in the DOJ. She talked about that. But the next day, John Strand was joined us, and he was actually in Washington with Dr. Gold. He was her bodyguard and is her bodyguard, I think, up until now. And he literally was protecting her at the Capitol when she spoke on the Capitol grounds, when she went into the Capitol building, when she came out. So John Strand is another one of the January 6th defendants, and he chose not to plead guilty. Some of the people being prosecuted or persecuted by the Department of Justice related to January 6th chose to take a plea, to plead guilty. Others chose to go to trial. John Strand said on this show that he decided that he wanted to go to trial to challenge the things, the charges against him, not because he said he was perfectly aware he was going to be found guilty, because these are trials being conducted in Washington, D.C., in a jury pool that has zero peers of any average American. This is a very, very left-wing jury pool in Washington, D.C., and a DOJ just hell-bent on locking up everyone who had any connection at all to January 6th. So John Strand went to trial. He was convicted. He faces sentencing tomorrow. Tomorrow, Thursday, June 1st, is his sentencing date in Washington. Tonight, there is a prayer vigil that's been organized by John Strand and many others. I signed up for the prayer vigil. I want to urge you to do that, too. And I sent to my very wonderful producer, Mr. Emilio, I sent something. Okay, so take a look at this. If you're just listening, you can't see the screen. I'll tell you, it just says, to join the prayer vigil for John Strand and all J6 political prisoners tonight at 8 p.m., tonight, Wednesday, May 31st, go to www.johnstrand.com. Sign up for the prayer vigil. You can watch it on live at Twitter at Twitter, go to John Strand USA. It's a prayer vigil, an hour and a half meeting tonight at 8 p.m. And the reason I want to urge you to go to that is this prayer vigil isn't really just about John Strand. He's taken an enormously brave step of saying that if Americans just continue to plead guilty to things that when they didn't do anything wrong, and they know they didn't do anything wrong, it's one way in which we're losing the rule of law in our country, we're losing our justice system. And many people, myself included, view what is now occurring with the DOJ still planning on hunting down over 1,000 more additional defendants to persecute or prosecute in Washington, D.C., related to January 6th. We're really watching what is just a weaponized attack, a weaponization by the anti-American left of the entire justice system, of the Department of Justice. So the prayer vigil for him, it isn't just for him, it's for all the January 6th defendants. I'll remind you, we had on our show, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or so, I don't have the date right handy, but we had on our show, on a Thursday show, we had Jaleese and Mark Middleton. They're just one example. They are Texas people. They live on a farm in Texas. These are not politically active people, but they went to Washington on January 6th. They're now facing a trial in August and apparently decades in prison for literally, they didn't even go near entering the Capitol. They stood on the Capitol grounds, stood in a circle, closed their eyes, bowed their heads and prayed, got hit over the head or hit over in the back and the arms with a billy club that was being wielded by a DC Metro police officer, and just fending off from him, pushing, trying to make him stop hitting them. And they were in a public area. There was no sign saying it can't be there. They faced decades in prison. And I'm raising this to say, and wrapping up this first five segment, I think in America, there is a need for more Americans to recognize, even if you're not normally politically active, and if you just kind of think, politicians are all the same, nothing really matters, nothing will ever change, America will still be America, we'll always have our freedom, we'll always have our, you know, we'll always have opportunity, we'll always have abundance, we'll always have free speech and freedom of assembly. If you're one of those people thinking that's always been true, you know, it has in America for literally centuries. But we are at a breaking point in America. We're at a breaking point, a turning point, whatever you want to call it. What we have now in Washington, the individuals in power in Washington, D.C., are telling you, the American people, in a whole host of ways, I'll be describing more later in the show. Do not for a moment assume that you have freedom of speech going forward. Do not believe you have even a hint of a right to privacy. Do not even think about challenging this government this leftist government that's now taking control of all of Washington. Do not think you have the right to challenge them, to speak against them, to post things online against them. We are watching really the loss of America as founded. The loss of America as founded. It's that serious, and it is that consequential for the future of freedom in this world. So I urge you to get on board tonight. Get on this prayer vigil call. It's not just for John Strand, but all of the January 6th prisoners. And an even bigger piece of it, which he understands, Dr. Gold understands as well, is more than just the January 6th conduct that is a sign or a symbol to us in America of losing our freedom. It's the entire approach to governance taken by this leftist cabal or by the Biden administration, or as I like to call them, he who occupies the White House. One more quick point. I remember when I was growing up in the Happy Lutheran Sunday School, you know, we kind of live at Lutheran church growing up, and Lutheran Sunday School, I remember one time, I probably was in junior high school, and the conversation was about, in Sunday school, was about the idea of, you know, the martyrs, like people who would not denounce Jesus, would not denounce Christ. They were, you know, they were being tortured, or they were being accused, and just all they had to do was say, okay, I won't follow Jesus anymore. I won't be a Christian. And then they could have lived, but they didn't. They chose to stand for their faith. Many were fed to the lions, as you know, or suffered other torturous deaths at the hands of people who did not want to see, allow these people to have that religious freedom. I remember asking the question in Sunday school, I say, you know, middle school years, probably seventh or eighth grade, why didn't they just lie? Why not just say, to save your life, say, okay, fine, I won't follow Jesus anymore. I won't follow Christianity. I'll stop. just to save your life. Why didn't they do that? And it brought about a great conversation in Sunday school, because part we got around to realizing was, if everyone said that, if every Christian who believed Jesus was the Messiah, who was a follower of Christ, who believed what Jesus taught about God and about the nature of life and who God is and what Christianity meant, if everyone just said, okay, fine, I'll be quiet and go away, Christianity itself, I can't say it would have died, but Christianity would have been crushed and smothered. The spirit of standing up for what is true, even when you know you may face death, or you may face severe persecution, you may face being tossed in federal prison for doing nothing wrong. The larger the voice of the martyrs over the centuries, the idea is you have to stand for truth, even when threatened with the most severe thing, like in the case of the Christians faced with death, or today faced with going off to prison for doing nothing wrong on January 6th. If you don't stand for what's right, if you don't stand for freedom, if you don't stand for your faith, it will be crushed. You will lose those things. We are seeing tremendous bravery out of many people in this era in America, where you have just a growing tyranny coming out of the anti-American left, really trying to teach the lesson to America, nobody's supposed to disagree with us. And that, my very fine friends, is today's First Five. Okay, so I want to talk about the PACs and impeachment. Now, I know if you're in some other state, you're thinking, this is just Texas news, this isn't America news, but what's happening in the great state of Texas to the attorney general named Ken Paxton is a microcosm of what's happening in many legislatures and many legislative bodies around this country. The short story is, a short summary is, in Texas, we have a Republican governor. All Republican, all office holders at major levels are Republican. We have a Republican majority in the Texas Senate, the Texas House, and we have a Republican attorney general named Ken Paxton. Unbeknownst to voters until a week ago today, the House majority, which is Republican, the House had engaged in an investigation of Ken Paxton, of Attorney General Ken Paxton. The voters didn't know a thing about it until last weekend, when it was announced that the House had held a hearing. They held an investigation, an impeachment investigation, and the House held a vote on Saturday this past week to impeach Ken Paxton. So the House has voted, the Republican majority House, to remove the Republican attorney general. As it stands right now, are the way laws in Texas, he's out until there is going to be the trial that's held in the Senate side. And I actually, driving here today, I was talking to a really good friend of mine. She lives out of state. She's a really active Republican. And that was one reason she called me on the car ride in. I live like an hour away, so I have a lot of time in the car. But she called to say, you know, I'm hearing both sides of this Ken Paxton thing. I'm hearing Republicans impeached him, so he must be a bad guy. I'm hearing other people say, oh no, it must be political. And I want to just explain to you why I think this very much ties to the battles happening around this country. In short, to start with, in the great state of Texas, we have a law on the books. It is a statute in Texas that says no elected official can be impeached for anything he or she did prior to their election. So I think you have that also, Mr. Emilio, you have that? Okay, I wanted to put it up so you just see how I'm not oversimplifying when I'm describing what the statute says. Texas state law on impeachment, section 665.081, no removal for acts committed before election to office. An officer in this state may not be removed from office for an act the officer may have committed before the officer's election to office. You can come back to me. So plain and simple, it's saying, you know, the legislature in this state, it cannot decide to impeach somebody for something he or she did before they were elected. And right now, where we stand is everything the articles of impeachment brought against Ken Paxton, Attorney General Paxton, relate to incidents that occurred prior to his election. He's been elected many times. He was elected first to the Texas State House, then Texas State Senate, and then as Texas Attorney General. He's a fighter in the state of Texas. He stands up for the things that conservatives want him to stand for. There are things in his past that his political opponents brought up every time he ran for something. His political opponents would bring these things up. The bottom line is the voters in Texas decided, with all the facts in front of them, we still will take him because he fights, because he stands up on big issues like standing up against Big Pharma, standing up to enforce the border, standing up for fair elections. He fights on the issues that conservatives want. That's why they continue to reelect him. So you say, well, then what happened in the great state of Texas? Well, you know, a lot of reasons are being attributed to the House vote to impeach, which included many Republicans voting to impeach him, And so you say, well, maybe there's something more there. To be very clear, unless there's something new that wasn't reported to the people, nothing that they chose to impeach him over involves conduct after he was elected. And so the very first thing you might be asking is, well, then why did they even do that? Well, I'll tell you that a friend of mine who actually was on the show not too long ago, Tom Glass, he went down to the state of Texas legislature, and he and his wife watched the proceedings. They watched the impeachment. And he made some observations in an article he wrote. This is linked on our website, AmericaCanWeTalk.org, AmericaCanWeTalk.org. Two of the observations he made, he and his wife went to listen to the impeachment proceedings. One was that they ended up, you know, they're sitting in the gallery where you're sitting kind of above, you can look down on the floor of the house. My friend and his wife are sitting up in the gallery, and he commented that, he wrote in his blog, that you can read the way you get to at our website, AmericaCanWeTalk.org. Everything I talk about is there for you to read yourself. AmericaCanWeTalk.org on the homepage under shows, drop down, list of links, and there it'll be. He wrote, I sat next to an older woman I'd never met who spoke with an accent. She was there with her family who was opposed to the impeachment. She told me that she had grown up in a communist country and knew what tyranny looked like and that this impeachment looked like that to her. It's tyranny of the majority. We can get this guy, so we will. And there are reasons they want to get him, even though he's Republican, which I'll get to in a moment. The other observation that my friend Tom Glass wrote about was the idea that in no point in the entire impeachment proceeding did any Republican raise what they call a point of order, which just means, you know, point of order is you're turning aside from the substance of the issue you're discussing, whether it's tax policy or impeachment or anything else. You turn aside from the policy to raise a point of order. It comes from Robert's Rules of Order. It's basically the idea that, you know, whatever, we didn't follow the rules here. There's a rule that we should have all been following, and we didn't. That's what point of order is. And what Tom is pointing out in his column was, no one in the entire Republican majority in the Texas legislature raised the point of order. What has Attorney General Paxton done after his most recent election? What? Which would be dispositive of the whole case. No one even raised it. No one even thought to bring it up. He, Tom Glass, also makes some really eloquent observations about other comments made during the impeachment hearing, which I won't get into today, but urge you to read them. He's basically making the point, even some Democrats were talking in terms of like, this seems more like an ambush. This seems out of line. This seems wrong. And you know, there's something wrong with the way we're doing this. Ken Paxton's not here. He's not able to give his voice. Now, he will be able to present his testimony and witnesses in the Senate hearing coming up whenever it comes up. But these people, even on the Democrat side, who probably wouldn't, you know, they don't want Republicans to win elections, but even they were saying something's really wrong here. I don't know all the motivations to attribute to what's going on, but I will say, and because I went into a bunch of them on an article on our website, which I really want to urge you to read. There's an article at our website, AmericaCanWeTalk.org, in our blog, and the article is called What's Behind Paxton's Impeachment? What's behind Paxton's impeachment at AmericaCanWeTalk.org. I urge you to read it because I think you'd be just, I mean, I float some ideas what's really driving these people. I do not think it is anything noble or good. I think that Ken Paxton pokes at some of the sacred cows that the collective establishment try to protect, including Big Pharma. I think he is every time he runs, Ken Paxton runs the grassroots of Texas galvanized behind him. And this irritates a lot of establishment people who can't seem to stir up the same fervor among Texas voters. Many people think Ken Paxton may run for governor. I don't know if he's even thinking about it. I never asked him. But I think there's a jealousy there of his popularity. And I think the situation with Ken Paxton here in Texas is somewhat similar to the way the establishment people on the Republican side attack Donald Trump. He's popular with the people. They stand behind him. They just are not swayed by all of the litany of alleged personal wrongdoing that are being thrown out, either about Ken Paxton or about, in the case of the presidency, of Donald Trump. So it's a consequential thing in Texas. It is not a minor thing happening here. I mean, you know, the governor will appoint a temporary attorney general, and hopefully he or she will not do too much damage to the attorney general's office. But the real bottom line point, going back to why I started the show saying, your job as a real patriot is to stand up for the ideas of America and to stand up for the concept of we the people are the sovereign. We the people are the sovereign, not the elected legislature, not the governor, not the president, not the senators, we the people. And when we the people, with full knowledge of whatever wrongdoing people claim occurred with Attorney General Paxton, looked at the issues and said, we're still with him, we stick with him. This is really a rising of this tyrannical mindset, this mindset that says, we don't care what the stupid people want. We don't care what the peasants of America want. We, the ruling class, we've decided you can't have Paxton. And the case of Washington, you can't have Trump. We're going to find a way to get him. It's the same thing. It's very detrimental to the concept of America. I urge you to read the article because there are more individual reasons I spell out in there why this is a very troublesome impeachment at all. And I also, in the article, make the point, the statute I just showed you a couple minutes ago, the statute that says you can't impeach somebody for something that occurred before they were elected, this is exactly the situation that statute was trying to prevent. Trying to say, okay, you people in Austin, you know, you may not like him, or you may be against him, whatever reason you have, but the people chose him, so you got to work with him. And this is the legislature saying no. And there's a lot of other reasons about it. I don't want to spend more time on it. But recognize that is a role of when the people are blessed to be the sovereign in a country like ours. We do have a job to participate in this governance and participate in the state legislature, participate in the process of governance, because there will always be people trying to send the message in one way or another. We don't really believe in the idea of America. We certainly don't believe in the idea that you, the people, being the sovereign. It's a very, very, very consequential situation here in Texas.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard-won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before. Since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative, here at RightEonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at RightEonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, RightEon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at RightEonStore.com today.
So, the Republican National Committee, the Heritage Foundation, which is, I mean, a bunch of, you know, conservative people trying to mostly put out white papers on conservative ideas, and Fox News, other mainstream organizations, other people at this seminar University of Dayton puts on, funded by your tax dollars to fight violence and terrorism, were speakers who talked about Donald Trump. One guy, Alexander Hinton, a member of the Rutgers University faculty, compared the Trump administration, not even kidding, your tax dollars at work, compared the Trump administration to Pol Pot. You're thinking, I know that name, Pol Pot, yeah. The genocidal Cambodian leader who killed 2 million people of his own people. And this is funded by your tax dollars, some complete, you know, morally insane person, lunatic person, actually compared Trump to the Cambodian leader, leftist, who killed 2 million of his own people, other similar things. I'm giving you the idea, this is the Biden administration, the American left, motivated by and willing to act on the idea they get to shut down the political opposition. They can use your tax dollars. And the point of all this is they spend the money, it goes to colleges and universities, and then the colleges and universities are using it with their own students, their own faculty, their own whoever is involved in the programs they create. They're all being propagandized at your tax dollar expense. Propagandized by this administration to call people, and you know, when you're a leftist, I mean, when you're Mayorkas or when you are Merrick Garland, you know, you're a terrorist if you're a parent who shows up at your kid's school board and says, I really wish you wouldn't teach them critical race theory. I really wish you'd stop transgendering my 5-year-old. You know, that's a terrorist. The Biden administration not too worried about the terrorists crossing America's southern border because they won't even enforce the border, not worried about them, are worried about parents, are worried about people who are giving voice to conservative ideas. And when I tell you, when I keep saying to you and urging you to, and I'm going to say many of you are already with me. I do recognize that. I don't mean to speak to you, my audience, as though none of you even get this, because probably a lot of you do. But many of your friends don't. Many of your friends and family don't. They don't see the collapse of freedom of speech in America right in front of our faces through things like this. Through the administration giving millions of dollars out to universities to teach students, faculty, whoever else involved, to actually view Americans who won't agree with them on every issue, to view them as terrorists, as dangerous, as extremists. I mean, the examples go on and on and on about this. There was also another Biden administration initiative. This is within the State Department. So the State Department has the GEC, Global Engagement Center. And so the Global Engagement Center sends out money, it gives out grant money under a thing called the Global Disinformation Index. GDI, Global Disinformation Index. Again, you gotta grasp what they're doing. Everything that this Marxist leftist party that's taken over America, that's running the country, they're engaging in the same kind of things that Marxists and leftists have done throughout this world. They are trying to turn the American people against anyone who disagrees with them on anything. That's their point. Not just to turn the people against them, but to villainize their political opponents. They will prosecute them if they can, as the Department of Justice is doing. They will label and mock and ridicule them, as these programs are engaging in. It's the idea of telling the American people, anyone who won't agree with the leftist agenda of the Biden administration is probably a terrorist and guilty of disinformation. It's a new label with the same concept. They're just trying to censor speech. They're trying to tell America, you can't listen to these people because they're far right, they're conspiracy theorists, they're extremists. And for crying out loud, the Heritage Foundation is so mainstream, apple pie America, that the idea they could even be extremists, even thought of as extremists, is absurd. But there you have it. So back to the State Department, has this global engagement center, and they spent $100,000, gave a grant to this global disinformation index, which in turn fed conservative website blacklists to advertisers to defund disfavored speech. So the government using your tax dollars to the State Department to go out to all sorts of organizations that may otherwise print news they don't like or put information up on websites they don't like, to urge those, to urge them to blacklist all conservatives. I mean, it couldn't be more blatant violation of the First Amendment. And on top of that, so Daryl Issa, the congressman from California, Daryl Issa, I think it is, sent a letter to the State Department saying, what are you doing? You are funding organizations that are essentially new, they're replacing the Disinformation Governance Board, and they're basically putting information out, trying to shut down conservatives, putting out blacklist names to go to websites saying, don't let these people advertise, they're kind of crazy, they're far right. They're using your tax dollars to propagandize the American people against their political opposition. This is outrageous. And the answer, interestingly, so Daryl Issa sends this letter. He's saying, what are you doing, State Department? This cannot possibly be within your parameter. And he got a letter back just saying, we make no apology of any kind. We stand by our program. We are blacklisting. And by the way, in case you wonder who they're blacklisting, it's not anybody who's a liberal. They're blacklisting conservative, responsible, serious conservative commentators and websites. That's who they're blacklisting. I mean, it's the most breathtaking thing. And of course, I'm telling you this. I'm going to ask you, you're not here to answer, but how many of you even knew about this? I mean, Daryl Issa is trying to make a big point, and some of the news outlets are, but this letter, which Issa sent, he sits on the Judiciary and House Foreign Affairs Committee. He asked the State Department to undertake a prompt and comprehensive inquiry into any grants, authorities, and policies that have been unlawfully used to curtail the free expression of conservative or domestic media, and to take corrective measures as warranted. And got a letter back just saying, you know, to summarize in the vernacular, oh, bite me. We're not going to stop. We're doing exactly what we want. They don't even care that what they're doing is so wrong. Similar thing happened. This is just like, I brought up Pravda for a reason. This is like Pravda Media. This is like the phone pole style things I told you about and walking around the city of Moscow with loudspeakers in the back where they're spewing out pro-communist, anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-capitalism, anti-free market propaganda 24/7. Only in our case, it's coming in a slightly more subtle form. But your tax dollars at work doing this. There was also a great article that appeared in, The Federalist had, Federalist, that was one of the really, really badly blacklisted. It can't read The Federalist, can't do that, can't really. I can tell you the places they went after. This Federalist article discloses what this Global Disinformation Index, GDI effort, who they listed as the bad guys, the people who you shouldn't listen to. American Spectator, which is actually a very good website, Newsmax, The Federalist, American Conservative, One America News, The Blaze, Daily Wire, Real Clear Politics, Reason, and The New York Post. All those were smeared by this tax-funded effort to basically say, you know, we're not. You need to ignore these people. Don't listen to what they say. Don't let anyone advertise there. The government is bad enough if a private entity were doing it. This is the government doing this to you with your tax dollars. And examples of stories you may never hear, because if you only listen to propaganda media, which is pretty much ABC, NBC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times, all of those entities, you never hear real news. I'll tell you one little quick bit of real news, which I don't want to go into much detail today, but you know, you had, for example, the government pushing the COVID vaccines and pushing and pushing and pushing and claiming that you're killing grandma if you won't get the vaccine and killing it, and there's no problem, everyone take the vaccine. If you take the vaccine for COVID, you won't get COVID, you won't spread COVID. You know, nothing bad will happen to you. You won't die of COVID. You're protecting everybody, which every single one of those things has now turned out to be a lie. It's a flat out lie, and everybody knows it. And so all the pushing for masks did no good at all. Pushing for social distancing did no good at all. But there was a recent study that was really interesting, and I'm going to guess none of the propaganda media covered it, but there's actually a peer-reviewed medical study. A peer-reviewed medical study that concluded the higher the number of vaccines for COVID previously received, the higher the risk of contracting COVID-19. This is linked at our website. You can read it yourself. Go to AmericaCanWeTalk.org on the homepage under shows, drop down, list of links. Read these yourself and send them to your friends who are still touting the COVID vaccines or still not concerned about them. This study actually showed you increase your likelihood of contracting COVID the more COVID vaccines you take. And I'm gonna guess none of you heard this reported anywhere. And a similar note about COVID. So I'm getting at, we live in a Pravda world in America. We live in a world of, you know, controlled media, the government shutting down conservative websites to the extent possible, the Department of Homeland Security controlling Twitter up until Elon Musk took it over, controlling Twitter and hiding news from the American people. These are so profoundly un-American, and yet they become like commonplace. Everyone goes, yeah, I know they do that, as though it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. One of the quick thing on COVID, which was an amazing thing recently, came to light. So you might remember back when COVID came along and Fauci claimed very early on that the COVID-19 virus had come from nature. You know, the whole bats in the cave, whatever, came from nature, nothing to see here. And obviously, since that time, we've all learned that it was gain-of-function research occurring in the Wuhan lab, funded by actually Anthony Fauci himself, funded by him, Wuhan lab creating this virus, getting released, it appears intentionally. I mean, the entire thing he cooked up was false. But did you know that there was actually a study done way back in May of 2020, a working paper called Critical Analysis, a long, long title, The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2, authored by Commander Jean-Paul Chrétien, a Navy doctor working at the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, commonly known as DARPA, as well as by another guy named Robert Cutlip, a research scientist at the DIA. The paper came to light May 15th of this year, but it was written back in May of 2020, in which they said, this didn't come from nature, and obviously Fauci knows it. But they were okay hiding that from you, withholding that from you, and so we had to go through years of battles in media, battles and discussions in homes over whether or not, where COVID came from, and was it intentional, and all kind of issues. And these things were known to them, but withheld from the American people for a variety of reasons, which you probably can guess. Okay, I only have a minute for my last story before before we have to go to the end of the show. We have to go to Why It Matters to You. But I do want to just touch on this story. It kind of goes with my theme of the day about how the left has managed, very much like communist Russia did, when they wanted to shut down contemplation, even thought, among the people living in communist Russia, that maybe there was a better answer than communism, that maybe freedom was possible, that maybe people could live in freedom and be okay. The communist Russians did not want the people to know that, and they inundated the people with propaganda 24/7. Our leftist government in this country, not exactly the same method, but they're engaged in the same agenda to make the American people believe through all the ways that they permeate American thought, conversation, through the propaganda and media that joins them, that you believe exactly the opposite of what is true. You believe what they're trying to tell you that you should believe. So here's a last quick story, and you probably, a lot of you saw this, but there's a law school in New York City called CUNY, City University of New York. The commencement speaker was pronouncing it CUNY. I didn't ever know how they said it, but CUNY, CUNY. So the students had chosen a commencement speaker from among their ranks. It was a student who is a Palestinian, who's Muslim, and the entire speech was completely disconnected from reality. And that leads me to another point I want to say about all of this propaganda stuff. There are many things about, there's a, you know, reasonable one side, other side thing, you know, whether speed limit should be 60 or 65, you know, you can have all sorts of views about NFL teams or NBA teams or who you like better, things genuinely the subject of opinion. But actually facts exist in this world, and facts are not, you know, there's not any such thing as your truth and my truth. There's just truth, and it does exist. In the case of this student who spoke at the City University of New York, she laid out, she called America, you understand what she said? She called America, she said we must be fueled in the fight against capitalism, against racism, against imperialism, against Zionism. It was a flat out anti-Semitic, hysterical meltdown of speech. That's who was chosen by the students at the City University of New York to speak. Anti-Semitic, to beat the band, and yet she was the one the students chose, and she gave the speech. At least in this case, it was so outrageous, so egregious, so offensive, that many politicians in New York City started to say, wait a minute, we're funding that law school? And last year they had apparently some other equally lunatic speaker, but this is a tax-funded school, a law school, where the student chosen to speak at commencement launched an anti-Semitic, anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-capitalism diatribe. And the students who chose her, I'm gonna tell you people, they had to have some idea what she thought, what she was all about. And they didn't choose her randomly, I assume. They chose her, elected her because they liked her views. This is the kind of cesspool of thinking that exists in many colleges and universities in this country, and we cannot expect to save this country, to lift this country out of the moral lunacy in which we are living, if we continue to fund schools like this, fund schools that will feed anti-American lunacy as a replacement for actual teaching. I'm going to turn to why it matters to you in just 30 seconds, but I want to urge you tomorrow, Thursday, our guest on our special Thursday show this week is Texas State Senator, Bob Hall. Bob Hall is a fabulous Texas State Senator. In Texas, our legislative session just ended. We only meet, the legislature meets 6 months every other year. They just finished, and they're now going to special session. He'll be here tomorrow to talk with us, and one of the bills they were working on was trying to defund certain aspects of the Texas University-funded schools that spent all their money on left-wing lunacy instead of teaching students truth, which actually does exist. I close the show every day by telling you why the stories we talked about today matter to you. So we started our show today. Seems like a long time ago, but we started our show this morning, earlier today. Political persecution in America, J6 and more. No excuse any longer for D.C. prosecutors or D.C. judges. January 6th was not an insurrection, and everyone knows it. The feds were key to staging the event and whipping up emotion, and everyone knows it. Hands-off treatment of BLM rioters is indefensible and unconscionable double standard. Time to stop the Stalinist railroading of innocent J6 protesters who did nothing wrong, including John Strand. Time to stand for truth, integrity, honesty, and fairness in the administration of justice. Time to uphold American standards of due process for J6 defendants and and lawfare victims. Conscience matters in America. Follow it. And on the deeper point of the Paxton impeachment, Texas House has made itself the national poster child for the core conflict of this era, a ruling class that thinks it is better and wiser than American voters and therefore must control who wins elections. Texas statute explicitly bars impeachment of elected officials for actions taken prior to the election, precisely intended to let voters decide who they want in office. Candidate strengths and weaknesses debated by election campaigns and then decided by voters. No elite group has the power to overrule voters on issues already debated and decided. Texas House impeachment of Attorney General Paxton is straight up in your face defiance of this Texas statute. Texans are red, conservative and angry because their elected representatives condescend to them. Paxton impeachment may be a pivotal existential moment for the GOP in Texas and America. And on Biden's latest Ministry of Truth tactic in the GDI, the Biden cabal insistent on treating all political opponents as terrorists, as threats to America. It's really war on traditional American values, pure Marxist revolution, right in our faces. Global Disinformation Index, GDI, is a government tool for tracking the riskiest purveyors of disinformation, all of which turn out to be conservative publications that question cabal narratives. Examples, reputable studies have recently shown the more vaccinated you are, the more likely you are to contract COVID. COVID did not arise from nature. Did you know of these studies? If not, why not? This is government censorship in action. None of the Biden cabal behavior is normal. None of it is grounded in American ideals. It is an attempt to overthrow constitutional America. Americans must awaken to it and must stop it. And on taxpayer-funded hate in New York City, CUNY commencement speaker, a proud, raving, viciously hateful anti-Semite, reveling in the opportunity her classmates gave her to rail on Jews. CUNY is taxpayer-funded. By New Yorkers, is New York still capable of recognizing this poison, of denouncing it? The speaker has a right to free speech, but the audience has a right to be disgusted, and taxpayers ought to have the right not to subsidize obviously bigoted opinion that has a known history of inciting violence. New York City Mayor Adams is at last rethinking illegal immigration in sanctuary cities. I didn't get that story, but I will. Maybe he will also reawaken to the poison of anti-Semitism. And that, my very fine friends, is America Can We Talk for today. Thank you so very much for tuning in to America Can We Talk every Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time. I do this show, America Can We Talk, to speak truth about America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.